This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Oswald Chambers wrote, "Do not expect God always to give you his thrilling moments, but learn to live in the domain of drudgery by the power of God." We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray today that you will build within our souls a fire, that our Christianity will never become drudgery, but that it may be always active in moving us on with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Grant also that we may see the power of your word, that we may understand that when you have confronted a person, drudgery moves out of that life. This is our prayer, O God, that you will enrich us with this thought, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. John. It begins with verse 1. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out fishing," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Christ.
It was during the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus that Peter is quoted as saying, "I'm going fishing." Why do you suppose that Peter and six of the other disciples said, "We'll go along with you"? I have some ideas, but that really caught my eye. "I'm going fishing." And you might ask, well, why does that catch your eye? Enough that you would even spend the time to write a whole sermon on it. And I'll try to make that clear in the message that is before us today. I have two reasons why I think Peter made that statement. The first is, I think Peter was bored. I think he was actually bored with his Christianity. Do you ever get that way? I do. The second reason that I want to preach on this text today is that a few days ago, my wife and I read an excellent devotion by David McCaslin. And in that devotion, he quotes Oswald Chambers as saying, "There are times when there is no illumination and no thrill, but just the daily routine, the common task." And then Chambers goes on to say, "Don't expect God to give you his thrilling moments always, but learn to live in the domain of drudgery by the power of God." McCaslin continues and he says, "During the boring times of life, God is working to instill his character in us." This is an important statement. Drudgery is our opportunity to experience the presence of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but sometimes my Christianity gets so tied in to the calendar of the church, the programs of the church, they're all great programs. But I get so tied in with those programs that when the program day is over, I say, "Now what?" And I believe that's where the disciples were with Jesus as far as that post-resurrection period is concerned. Well, let's take a look. And you can then decide afterwards whether my interpretation of this was correct and if there is any application as far as your life is concerned. It had been a very, very busy time for those disciples. They had walked with Jesus for 3 years. They had seen him heal the sick, heard him preach like no man ever before or after has preached. Just to be with him, just to hear him say, "I have to go up into the mountains to pray, and I want you to come along with me." And then all of a sudden, they have that terrible week where Jesus is denied, he's betrayed, he's treated unjustly, he's sent to a cross, he's raised from the dead, he appears a few times to the disciples, but otherwise than that, in a period of 40 days from the resurrection to the ascension, the disciples, I don't believe, knew what to do. And I get especially interested in this person by the name of Peter because I believe that there are characteristics in Peter that I find in myself. For example, Peter, you could well say, was an extrovert. And I have some of that in my own being. Peter loved to talk, and I love to talk. Peter denied Jesus, and it was bothering him. Somehow or other, he had to get that straightened out. You ever had that feeling? It's very easy for us to deny Jesus. If not with a word, it's with silence. Peter did it both ways. But when he said, "I never knew him," those were words that haunted his soul until he was able to meet the Lord after the resurrection, and the Lord say to him, "I forgive you, Peter, go and feed my sheep and my lambs." There was something really bothering him. How could he possibly deny one who had meant so much to him and who he had said he would never deny? Peter was a person who could adjust his Christianity. You know, if the Jews were around, Peter acted one way. But if they were not around and he was primarily with a group of Gentiles, Peter acted another way. Do you have that problem? I find myself adjusting at times to where I am. Or to be true blue. I'm sure that's what Peter wanted to do, and that's my desire also. So there's something about this person that really catches my eye. And I have experienced a lot of monotony as far as the church life is concerned. Perhaps I would rather not say my Christianity, because maybe I had set my Christianity aside for a little while. But the monotony of just sitting around, and what are we going to do next in the church? That becomes a very, very important question. And that's where they were. They would get up in the morning, and they would probably sit around and have a little bit to eat. And then they would ask the question, well, what happens next? Jesus said he was coming soon. He hasn't come. It's now 30 days, a month, since he was raised. What are we going to do? And they began to talk about things in the past. Perhaps they really gave old Judas a going over for selling the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And then Peter probably would say, well, who am I to talk? I denied him. And the conversation went on that way, talking about what had happened and wondering what was going to happen because nothing had happened. Except, of course, every so often, Jesus made an appearance to let them know that he was the resurrected Lord. Doesn't the routine of life get to you? In the secular world, in our own world, if we don't have something on the calendar, most of the time, and you're a personality like Peter, and I have some of that, as I have confessed, then you've got to have something going. I've got to get it going. I'm going nuts. I've a friend who said to me not long ago, I've got to change my job. And I said, pray tell me, why would you want to change your job? You have a wonderful job. And he said, it's a routine. It's a routine. I have to do the same thing every day. I've even heard doctors say that surgery can get a little bit boring. Now, I can't imagine that. But I asked one doctor, a surgeon, to explain that to me, and he said, you know, when you open up the abdomen, it looks about the same in one as it does in the other. It can sometimes just plain get boring. Well, then I imagine our work becomes drudgery. That is also true as far as our Christian life is concerned when we identify it more closely to the program of the church than walking in a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we find ourselves in one of those periods today? Easter is over, and it's a long time before Christmas, and those are the two big days. We kind of forgotten Pentecost. So what are we going to do between Easter and Christmas? Well, we see that things are not quite as interesting. The attendance decreases to some degree. We've had that tremendous attendance on Easter. and then it goes down by several hundred or whatever it might be in your case. We've had that marvelous music and a big choir for our congregation, and suddenly that begins to diminish in some ways. Our people get going on their camping trips, etc. Well, we got to have something in this old church to keep it going. So we decide that we better have a banquet. Or we decide that we should have a series of meetings, some particular study, and we'll bring in an outstanding speaker, one who can catch the interest of the people. I know what I'm talking about. That's the way that I faced that post-Easter season just about every year. I watched it. Everything on our calendar seemed to be drawing to a close. The Lenten services, which had really been great experiences. That glorious Easter Sunday. We'd gone through the confirmation, which we usually had the last Sunday in April. We had a Mother's Day. But it wasn't quite like before Easter. And so I sat around wondering, what am I going to do? I didn't say I'm going fishing, but I did say I guess I better get away for a few days and just see if there's something that I can get going that will make this crowd get going. People sometimes would ask, what's happening in the church? And I've heard people say, and I've made it myself sometimes, not too much, we're back to the old routine. It's a great congregation, they're pretty stable. I can just about predict what's going to happen in the days that are ahead. And then we just begin to gear up for fall. Am I describing in any way your personal feelings or what might be going on in your church? Well, then what is the routine that we're talking about? Well, the routine is simply that we come to church and worship on Sunday. And we go to our Bible classes or Bible studies in our home. And we might occasionally get out and visit somebody who needs to know more about the Lord, to be strengthened by a good witness from one of his children. I always thought that there were three basic things in my ministry. I was to preach, I was to teach, and I was to visit my people. And sometimes I experienced, this is a confession, sometimes I experienced the boredom. And yet I loved to do every one of those things. So it didn't take long before the boredom was taken aside. And that was generally when the Lord began to say to me, look, it's in that word of God you find the excitement. It's in the teaching of that word that you find lives being changed. It's in that visiting with the Word that people begin to get the spiritual help that they really, really need. And so we'd go back, and I made a great discovery, only sometimes too late in my life, and sometimes I had to rediscover it. The really exciting times is not when there's a good program, or maybe even a great worship service. But the great exciting times are when somebody has come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's an exciting time when you have a group of people with you in a Bible study, and suddenly there's a new light that comes on in their soul. This is what the Lord Jesus has done for me. If Peter and the others with him had said, let's go apart. And maybe they did. I don't know. Just stop and think of what Jesus has done for us. Just think how we treated him. Just how we took him for granted. Just think, we hear so often the disciples could have said about the forgiveness of our sin. Remember how he forgave some of these people? This is a whole new concept as far as we are concerned with religion. We had been taught that there was no such a thing as really forgiveness in that sense of the word, that those sins were too great. Think of the parables he taught. That parable, for example, of the prodigal son. How one who had strayed so far away could come back. And then they could have said, just wait. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but just wait. One of these days, we're going to share that message of what Christ has done in our lives with others. And that's what happened. 50 days after the resurrection, and we'll get to that time in just a few weeks, it was Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit was speaking, and he entered in to Peter's heart and told Peter what he was to do, to go and tell the story. And before the day was over, Peter had a chance to ask the question, "What shall we do?" that came from the hearts of those people. And he stood up and preached the gospel. And that day, 3,000 believers were added to the church. And Peter said, "Wow, boredom has been erased." And I don't know if Peter ever went fishing again. There was just too much to do in bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to this world. Oh, go fishing and go do your things. But realize the boredom, the drudgery of life is not really erased until we are being used by the Lord in the building of his kingdom. Amen. Father in heaven, as we have experienced again the great resurrection, we thank you for all of the good things that you have given to us, especially a message, a power that can take the drudgery out of our lives. Grant that we may take this gospel and share it with those round about us, that they may know that in Christ there is real hope for everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought you perfect peace that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. April is Letter Month at Christian Crusaders. Throughout this month, we are asking you, our listeners, to simply write a note telling us on what station you hear us and what our broadcast means to you. In return for your letter, you will receive a complimentary Christian Crusaders Spreading the Light keychain pen light while supplies last. Write us today at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. If you wish, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing and all others who have the need to listen. We thank all who support us with their prayers and gifts. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.